What do you get when you have one voiceover girl?
And me? That makes two voiceover girls.
Oh, okay. What do you get when you have two voiceover girls separated by one pond and two perspectives?
Oh, I know. You get the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast.
That's right. Let's listen to Romy and Jessica as they share their journey into the voiceover industry. Hi, welcome to the VoiceOver Girls Across the Pond podcast. I'm Romy Santosh with my lovely co-host, Jessica. So I'm excited about today's episode because we're going to be having a chat with a British male voiceover artist, Linton, and we're going to be finding out about his experiences of diversity and the voiceover industry. So over to you, Jessica.
Thank you for joining us, Linton.
Thank you.
So first, why don't you tell us a little bit about your VO journey?
My VO journey. I suppose I started, well, before I even got into VO, for years I was working as a teacher anyway, and there was an instance once where we'd set up a competition with a load of other schools, and we had a PA system running, and there was a lull in the action, and my boss just shoved a mic in my hand and said, everyone calls me Linny. I said, Linny, say something. So I just started ad-libbing. And then I started commentating on what was happening, completely off the cuff. And by the end of it, I had about two or three different schools come over, go, could you do that for me? Could you come down to my school and do that for me as well, kind of thing.
Nice.
So there's that. There's a side of me that ever since I can remember, I've been involved in music. Performing and singing and recording. So I've always been doing that anyway. So I'm very much into audio. And then about when, 2015, about 2015, I had to have a serious operation, a pair of serious operations. I had two heart operations. And I remember coming back from it, my girlfriend at the time was always saying, what are you going to do if you can't teach? And I had no idea what I was going to do. And I was searching my brain. What am I going to do? But I found that the time off that I had, because I had about 2 years where I wasn't doing anything, gave me the chance to actually stop and think and smell the roses and think about things differently. And one of the things that she always said to me is that you should be doing voiceover. You can sing already. You know that you should be doing voiceover with it as well. So during that time, from about 2018, I started buying equipment, getting equipment together. I knew nothing about voiceover. Mm-hmm. I started buying studio microphones, started buying speakers, bits and bobs as I go along. I'd done a course in central London at City Lit. Yeah. You know, one of those courses. Down for 6 weeks and then you'll get a recording at the end of it. Yeah. Done one of those ones. Recording at the end of it. Yeah, great. You're really glad that you've got a recording by the end of it. And then after a couple of weeks, you're like, I could do better than that kind of thing. But hey, it was a start. So I'm not going to grumble about that. And going into the lockdown, I actually had the basics here to get started. So I just thought, well, it's either I sit at home and watch Netflix or I try and achieve something. So it's at that point I started cramming any information about voiceover I could off the internet, taking in people like Booth Junkie and Bill DeWeese and people like that, just getting as much information in as I could. I had signed up already to a pay-to-play site, but I hadn't paid. I just signed up to two of them. And I thought, well, let's dive in. Let's pay and see what happens. So I paid a subscription fee to one of them. And then lo and behold, after about a month, I think it was after about a month, I booked my first job.
Wow. Fantastic. That is impressive. Amazing.
Which completely knocked me aside, kind of thing. And must have been about, I don't know, a month. It was an advert I'd done and forgot about it. didn't think nothing about it. And then about a month later, a friend of mine texted me and just said, I was just watching TV and your voice just came up with me.
Amazing.
So that was nice. That was nice. So I thought, okay, I might have something here. And then I found during the first lockdown, I was actually more successful on the pay-to-play sites than a lot of my peers was getting. I was talking to other VOs at a similar point as me, who was on the same site as me, and they was telling me they wasn't getting nothing out of it. And I'm like, I'm booking something at least once a month. What's going on?
Wow.
Kind of thing. I don't ask me why. I have no idea why. But that's what was happening. So anyway, carried on, came out of the lockdown. I was still working in schools at the time, but I'd now started thinking, well, actually, I really enjoy doing voice. I love sitting in front of a microphone. I love walking into this room and having quiet around me. So I started to take it a lot more seriously and started to improve my acoustics in the room and learn a little bit more. I managed to get myself a coach that I can work with as well. Been with a couple of coaches, but I found a coach that I really click with. Can I say her name?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, Diane Perry. She's just
absolutely
brilliant. So I've been working with her, who's really helped me along with some of the sites. I was on some of the voiceover sites, Kickstart, Network, Ready for the Brain as well, learning all that I could from them. And that's just brought me to the point I am at the moment. About this time last year, I decided I need to take this really seriously. So then I'd done the course with Jonathan Tilley to learn about marketing as well. And yes.
Get serious.
that is when you start
marketing.
Did you do his League of List Builders? Is that what you did?
Yeah, that's the one that I did.
I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, so an eye opener for me, and again, a bit of a game changer as well. So I've been following that plan for the last year. Yes, I know marketing's the part of the game that nobody really tells you about at the start of it, and it's not
a major part of the game that you're just like, wow, I'm in a sales position.
Oh, yes, it's a big.
I have to market myself. Yeah. Yeah, it's like me.
That's it.
Exactly.
So that's where I'm at the moment. I'm quite happy with doing voiceover. Yes, it gets difficult at times, and you have your moments where you're hot and you have your moments when you're quiet, which takes a bit of getting used to. But at the end of last year, I said to myself, okay, I'm going to have to diversify. I need to have as many different streams coming in. I started really starting to get my business hat on and thinking about how am I going to make this work? Because this game's not for the faint-hearted. No. You do have to put the work in. You do have
absolutely. So I was going to ask you, what are the key aspects of your identity as a voiceover artist?
Key aspects. Key aspects of my... of me as a voiceover.
What contributes to you?
Everybody says you've got a nice voice, but then we're all voiceovers and it's like telling a fish that you can swim at the end of the day. Kind of thing. So I think the thing that I know that there's something in my accent, the way that I talk, that's pleasing to some people. Which sets me apart from most other people. So that's a big part of me.
Say a bit more about that?
I think it's probably because I used to sing. I still sing. It's probably because I sing. So it gives it, there's a certain edge to my voice. Not that it's deep. I just think that I've been told that there's an edge to my voice. And it's something that I need to embrace. What I need to add to that as a voiceover artist, I need to add on to that the emotion that I wouldn't even think about if I was singing. I would automatically add it if I was singing. as a voice artist, that's what I'm learning to add and trust, rather than trying to sound like somebody else or trying to sound like what the industry wants me to sound like. I need to trust what I am and give them a version of me rather than give them something completely different.
Yes, definitely. Anything else that comes to mind, or that's it? that sets you apart or gives you something unique?
I think that sets me apart. My musical background obviously sets me apart as well. For instance, if I'm doing, the other day I done a promo for a company and I recorded it. They sent me back the finished copy. He was happy with it. I heard it. I wasn't happy with it at all. No. So I said, okay, give me the music, give me the film. Because I didn't have the music to start off with, and I'll do you a voiceover that fits it. And I just treated it as if I was singing the thing. And I just changed the tone and pitch and the timbre of what I was doing, and it fit it like a glove afterwards. I don't think I would have been able to do that quite as easily if I wasn't musically inclined.
That's amazing.
So my musical background does help quite a lot. And because I'm not completely alien to a studio, as much as I'm learning as I go along, I'm not completely alien to it. So I actually like the technical side of it as well.
And can I just quickly ask you, just to get a bit more background, are you based in the London or somewhere else in the UK?
Yes, in London.
Which part?
Penge, Crystal Palace.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, that's.
And is that where you've always been?
Yeah, I've always been South London based.
Yeah.
Maybe
nice.
One day I'll make it to Malibu, but not quite yet.
Yeah, I was just wondering if there's something about maybe, you know, your accent from that part of the world, if you know what I mean. There's certain unique.
I don't, because it's just my accent, it's what I've always had. So I don't hear it. Other people hear it. But then I don't know, if somebody asks for a South London accent, then I'm just going to talk at the end of the day. It might not be what Bob Across the Road thinks is a South London accent, but it's a South London accent to me. So, I would probably say having a London accent does help, because I think nowadays the industry is looking for more authentic voices. So me sounding the way I do is probably a plus.
Definitely, yeah.
How do you feel that the voiceover industry is dealing with people from different backgrounds, different cultures, you know, just anything that you know, makes them unique? How do you feel like that's happening in the industry?
Anyway, I think that the industry at the moment is quite welcoming of people from different background, diverse voices. I think they're quite welcoming of that at the moment. So I don't think it really matters if you speak with a West Indian accent, a London accent, a Mancunian accent, Indian accent. I don't think that that's really a problem at the moment, particularly with since the lockdown, where everybody's learned to work globally. If there's no one in your area that wants your type of voice, you can guarantee there's going to be someone in another part of the world that wants your voice. So I think the industry's been quite, I think it's been quite welcoming at the moment of different voices, people from different backgrounds. That's the way I see it at the moment. I think maybe in other countries it might be different. I suppose if somebody looked at my picture, they wouldn't be thinking I've got a British voice.
It's interesting, yeah. And has that been an issue at all up to now?
No, I don't think it has been an issue. Not to my detriment anyway. I have had offers from people that do want a South London voice, or they would want a black voice kind of thing. But if that's the project that they're after and they want that type of voice, then I don't really see an issue with that. I don't see any. I'd see it exactly the same as somebody that's asking for an RP voice. If you've got an RP voice, then
if that's
your voice, you're the voice at the end of the day. I just think that because it's voiceover, they are interested in your voice. And if it's the voice that they're after, I don't think the color of my skin should come into it.
That's no, absolutely. I agree. Yeah.
I don't know. You probably get, well, both of you will probably have a different or a different perspective to myself as to females, as opposed to how females are treated as opposed to males in the industry. You'd probably have a completely different story to my one. But from my point of view, that's where I stand with it. That's my experience of it so far.
I'm glad that you're having those experiences where it's not detrimental to you in any sort of way to be in a certain type of voice or, you know, that sort of thing. And that's, it's great because there's not everybody's had that experience. So that's wonderful.
I just think it's, for me, I think it's a mindset. I mean, I was told earlier on by someone that if you're the voice, you're the voice.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. If you are the voice, you are the voice. If they don't want my voice, then I shouldn't take myself so seriously. Oh. Fine, I'll go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes, it's frustrating.
Somebody else will. Yeah.
That's it. Someone else will take it. Yes, I'm gutted. It's a £10,000 job that I'm not getting. But yes. There's one around the corner.
I love that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, I love that. That's really positive. Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I try to be anyway.
Very good. I know you've had good experiences, but maybe you've heard about other experiences, you know, that in the VO industry concerning diversity, inclusion, that sort of thing. Is there anything that you can think of that you would change in the VO industry to maybe deal with diversity and inclusion differently?
The only thing that I would possibly change, I think the only thing that would possibly be a detriment for me, I think the only thing that might be a problem for me is with the corporate world, because I don't necessarily have a corporate type of voice. They probably are, particularly in England, they probably are after that RP voice 8 times out of 10, unless they're trying to reach a certain demographic of person.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that might be a bit of an issue. And I think that's something where, okay, the voiceover industry might have woken up to that. People around the voiceover industry need to wake up to that as well. So that would be the only thing that I can think off the top of my head that I would actually change.
But do you think this trend towards sort of more relaxed, conversational, et cetera, reads, is changing that as well? Or not quite yet in terms of actual real corporate work?
I think most definitely that is starting to change. I think the fact that they want the conversational side, they just want people to relax and just talk.
Yeah, down to earth. And
that's it. I think particularly after COVID, nobody wants to be talked at. Yes. Everybody wants to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So that actually helps. And I think with the things like the what they call the COVID read, where everybody was trying to get down to their customers or to the population's level, get to somebody's level and let them feel that everything's going to be okay. I understand where you're coming from. I think in order to do that, you need to be able to communicate with people and have that kind of voice that people will immediately go, okay, I can identify with that voice.
It almost seems like with having that more relaxed, you know, tone and cadence and accent and all of that, like that would actually help somebody maybe retain it more, because it's the idea of being talked at versus being talked with, you know?
Yes.
And so, I think it's a pretty smart move to to bring it to where it's like, you know, your work friend that you're chatting with instead of here's my boss telling me what I need to do.
Precisely. I think the only thing that you really got to do, which I had to learn to do, is just to talk a little bit clearer. Doesn't mean that I have to change the way I talk. I just have to be heard.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah.
But then we learn that, don't we?
So funny. I have the opposite problem. So I've told people this before, but my mom was a speech pathologist. So I was like, born in here. Here's how you speak completely correctly. And so I actually have to like not speak so clearly because I lose out on jobs because I enunciate too much. And so I have to like try to roll it back and go, okay, how would I talk among my friends? Well, probably just like this. I'm sort of a nerd that way.
I did actually lose a job once for a rail company because there was one word that they just couldn't understand when I said it. And I think it was just my London accent that they just couldn't get their head around. And I was so frustrated at the time. This one, I can't even remember what the word was, but I was with the video production company and being live directed. And the woman got me to say it like about 7 different ways.
Oh, no.
And the company liked everything that I'd done apart from this one word, ended up losing a contract on that one. Oh. It is what it is. It is what it is. No, I was up there at the time, but it is what it is. You just get on with it. They're lost.
I love that. Yeah, exactly. Right. Such a positive attitude, yeah. I just wanted to go back and pick up on something before we sort of draw to an end. A couple of things that you've said, and I just wanted to dig in a bit more. So obviously, I love your kind of attitude about it. It's, you know, voiceover is about your voice. That's it. But it was interesting. You did also say something about if somebody, say, looked at your picture, they might make a judgment, and people make judgments, obviously, about, you know, they might not realise you're a British person with a British accent. Nearly everything and all our marketing and everything, we're asked to put headshots are really given importance, and you have to put your picture and your profile and so on. Again, that brings in that level of judgment. Do you have any thoughts about that? And does it bother you that people might judge you?
It doesn't bother me. It bothered me at first. I really didn't. But then I'm not really somebody that likes to have my picture up all over the place anyway. Mm. But it bothered me at first. But then you put your professional hat on. Mm-hmm. And you think, if this is supposed to be a business, then people need to see my face. They need to know. They need to put a face on your voice so they know who they're talking to. I don't have an issue with it. I only see it as a positive.
Yeah.
And it's another picture to put on your website anyway. So. Mm.
I know. Yeah. Thank you.
That's funny. Rami and I were kind of in the same place where we don't like pictures taken either. And I was like, oh man, I don't want to put my picture up there. It's my voice, you know?
Exactly.
And I hate taking pictures. And so I dealt with it by having my company logo at the top of the page and then my picture all the way at the bottom by the contact form, so that if they needed to know who they were contacting, they could see the picture, but they could judge me on my voice first, you know?
You know something, when I first done my website, I done exactly the same thing. Mm. I had pictures of everything else. I think halfway through it, there was a silhouette of my head. And right at the end, there was like a faded out picture of me at the end on the contact form kind of thing. I did not want a picture up there. But
I did that too. Yeah, I started my first website. I actually just had a very, very faded out picture, you know, almost transparent. And I actually put, you don't need to know what I look like. You just need to hear my voice. I actually made that sort of statement on my first web page. But then people said, no, people buy people. Yeah. People buy people. You've got to show who you are. People connect with people. Okay. But I wasn't too happy about it. So I just found a picture that's about 300 years old of me.
That was my first one too.
Literally.
That's the other thing. You start going through your picture
the samples. Best picture. Like, oh, yeah. When I was 16, I looked all right. So.
Yep.
Is there a picture of me that's smiling anyway?
Exactly. Yeah. No, but there is that thing about judgment and, you know, how people are going to see you and whatever. When I came into voice, I was thinking, fantastic, how I look. It doesn't matter. It's just going to be about my voice and how I sound, but haven't been able to get away from it completely, though.
Yeah, that's what I feel.
That's the thing. Though, we still get dragged back into the how we look.
Yeah, I find that I even get judged on how I look. Like, people think I look like a soccer mom or something like that, you know, and they think that I'm just going to be like this housewife, blah, blah, blah. This is who I am. And they don't. I get put in this little box and I'm like, no, that's not me. I'm so many other things. Like, why, you know, just because I don't choose to have an edgy look doesn't mean I can't be edgy. Just because I don't wear funky clothes, I'm not funny. Like, it's really weird how people can just look and perceive your outward appearance and think that they know who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, people do that, but
yeah. So just this week, I was looking at a couple of, you know, on Facebook, you get the job groups, voiceover groups, and there was one and it said you have to be this old, specifying an age. So I actually responded. I thought, why does the age matter? Surely it's just the voice and the sound of the voice. It doesn't matter how old you are. Didn't get a response. But I just like to make a point of it. It shouldn't matter. You shouldn't need to know somebody's age or whatever. If the voice fits, if it sounds right, it doesn't matter if you're 70, but sound like a 20-year-old, which is quite possible.
precisely it. That's precisely it.
So people get really hung up on things which are irrelevant. There you go.
Yep. I mean, is a 9-year-old boy, right? Voiced by a woman who is now like, what, 60 or so? And she's still voicing him?
Yeah. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. I mean, I've learned over time that there's certain jobs that there's no point in me going for. I'm never going to sound like I'm 16 years old. That's just not going to work. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I just did an audiobook audition where they were like, hey, can you sound like around 20 something? But they didn't tell me that at first. I did the audition and I did my voice and it was like, can you bring that down to about like 22? And I'm like, I can try, you know, but we'll see what happens.
But at least they didn't say you have to be a 20-year-old. See, that was the issue I was having. They were sort of specifying the age, but it shouldn't be like that. As long as you sound like the character, that's what counts.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I might have the same one where I was like, 26? What's so special?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe they meant minimum age or something. Like there's a minimum age wherever they're at that you have to be at least this old to do this type of content or something. Who knows? But yeah.
The fact they didn't respond, I thought was a bit weird. You know, because if you're going to specify something in an ad and at least justify it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Linton, did you have any advice for someone who's a newbie now starting off in the voiceover? General advice or specifically in relation to diversity?
For people of an ethnic background, I would say, first of all, you've got nothing to be scared of. Go for it. Go for it. I think the voiceover industry is hugely welcoming of people from an ethnic background, or if you're not from the mainstream, whatever that is. I think the voiceover industry is brilliant for that. As far as advice for somebody new starting, definitely get some training first. Definitely, and invest in some training. Invest in yourself. You can't scrimp or save on that. There's no cheap way around this. As far as the technical side of it's concerned, don't get hung up on buying the most expensive microphone. Yes, get an XLR mic, but more than anything else, make sure that you treat your space that you're working in. That's where you need to spend your money. You learn it after all. And if I could do it all over again, yes, I would have spent all the money on the space I was working in, because I listened to some of the recordings I've done at an early stage, and you can hear the difference.
Oh yeah.
Don't you just cringe when you listen to some of that stuff where you thought, oh yeah, I got this, and this is my setup's great, my technique's good, and then you're just like, oh
no.
What was I thinking? Somebody bought that? Wow.
But on the good side of it, it shows that you're improving and you care about
exactly.
What
you do. Yes. Yeah. So, at least you can see that, you hear the difference, you know. Otherwise, that would be a worry, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you've got that story where you can be like, this is where I came from, but look at me now.
And I think the last thing I'd say is, if you're going to be, I've got a story for this one. If you're going to get if you're going to be directed, for instance, make sure that you're set up at least an hour before you start. Leave it till the last minute. I think my third job I had was a directed session, and I'd rushed home from work to do it, doing stupid speeds on the road to get home in time. Managed to get there just in time, switch everything on. 5 minutes later, I'm on the session. And I use Logic. Obviously, I do music, so I use Logic. I always have a metronome at the start of it to let me know when it's going to record. So I've done the session. Halfway through the session, I realized that the metronome's still on. So I just thought, well, I'll sort that out in post, no problem. I've done the whole session. Everything's fine. No problem. I'll send it over to you in an hour. No problem. Sat down to listen to what I'd done, and the metronome's going all the way through the recording.
No.
So I literally had to sit there and bit by bit listen to what I'd recorded, re-record it again, and it was like piece by piece. What should have been an hour turned out to be 2 hours, but I managed to get it off, and the customer took it took it no problem, and they was happy with what they've got. But well, yeah, from that moment, I just said, all right, make sure that you're set up an hour before you sort it out.
Preparation.
preparation is everything.
Definitely will, yeah.
I think that is everything that we have questions about, unless there's anything that you'd like to add.
I just think all power to you. You keep going with what you're doing. Oh. It's nice to hear a podcast from people that have start that are a similar sort of level to myself, and lets people like myself and people that have just started know that this is attainable. If you're willing to work at it, it is attainable. So yeah, I love what you're doing. I love what you're doing.
Thank you.
Just
that's encouraging for us. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, Linton, for coming onto our podcast and sharing your experiences of how different events led to you coming into the voiceover industry, and then your experiences of being a voiceover artist during the sort of time that you did come in during lockdown. And your lovely positive attitude has been really, really interesting for me in terms of being yourself and being confident about your voice, because that's what's actually going to get you the work. I think that's absolutely great. So thank you for sharing everything that you did, and I wish you all the best. So over to Jessica now to finish.
I think what's left to say is make sure that if you like this podcast, you like, subscribe, and share it with everyone. Everyone, say it with me now. Everyone, share it with everyone. And if you're interested in joining our Facebook group, you can find us at facebook.com/groups/voiceovergirlsacrossthepond. Until next time, bye.
Thanks for joining us for the VoiceOver Girls Across the Pond podcast. This is where we would normally shout out to our sponsors.
Jessica, we don't have any sponsors yet.
I know, but if we did, this would be the shout out. Hint, hint. Don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast.
And tell all your friends, your family, your neighbors, and everyone else.